Good morning. Again, it's nice to be able to be studying the scriptures with you and hope that as we go through this morning's lesson, that we can truly be looking at the things that Stephen was expressing on his defense to the high priest and the other accusers that were there with the high priest. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for the wonder of the love that you shower with. We thank you because we behave at times much in the same way that these other folks with the high priest that Stephen was addressing, the grumbling, the naysayers, many who, Father, deny your existence, but we, even in the church at times, we grumble because we disagree with one another, or we take a course that may think that the scriptures aren't saying what it is, rather than strive to understand it. The key to understanding that your word is truth, and that you have blessed us with the present indwelling of your Holy Spirit, and we can sort these things out by exercising patience, diligence in study of your word, and participation in worship service and Bible study. So, Father, as we continue with this study, devotion period, guide us, help us, if you would, please. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text today that we're going to cover is Acts chapter 7, verses 35 to 53, getting close to the end of Stephen's history lesson in defense of those who were attacking him. What I'd like to do is to read a couple verses first from the text. I'd like to read verse 39 and verse 40 first. 39 starts out, "Our fathers refused to obey him, but thrust him aside. In their hearts they turned to Egypt, saying to Aaron, 'Make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, who led us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" And we know that as he went up on the mountain to meet with God Almighty, he was gone quite a while. And once again, this subject of patience, this issue of waiting and waiting for what it is that God is going to do next, is our responsibility. That's where we become responsible as we read God's word and listen to the various teachings, as well as trying to walk more closely with him. What happened here is, if you remember, they grumbled when they were up against the Red Sea, thinking about the idea that, well, out in the wilderness they had nothing and they had more comfort back with the Egyptians, and they wanted to go back to Egypt, and now they've gone through the waters and here we are again. We're waiting on Moses. And they wanted, as it's expressed here, "Make for us gods who will go before us." The very man that God had chosen to lead them, Moses, and they were rejecting that which God had offered. And what happens when we do that? We get into this serious mode of continually looking down and maybe discouragement, maybe complaining, maybe even rebelling, denying, doubting. What happens? Verse 42 we see, "But God turned away and gave them over to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, 'Did you bring to me slain beasts and sacrifices during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel?' No, God provided everything they had for them. and yet he does for us today. Here Stephen is again expressing to the high priest and many of the Pharisees, Sadducees that were there hearing this, that listen, listen, you're not listening because you're rebelling against what's going on is the proclamation of the gospel, as he even has said before, that you're the folks that killed him. Yet we know that Jesus lives on because it was God's plan. We want to trust God. We want to look to Jesus for everything in our lives and never look otherwise. The truth, God turns from those who reject him. We've even heard of scripture that expresses God hardens their hearts. Let us not be that way. We don't grow or we don't go backwards. There's a matter of, as we dwell within God's word and throughout worship, Bible study, etc., the feeding of the word, it's important for us to truly understand that there's no standing still. And so it's important. That's, I think, some of what we want to try to get out of this. Again, you have to go back to the beginning of this chapter 7, where the gospel, Jesus Christ, was being proclaimed, and many of those were blaming those along with Stephen for rioting and causing all kinds of a ruckus. And it will if it shakes who we think we are, when we're actually nothing and God is everything to us. He has provided everything we have. We think back of even where we are with wants that we may have. We think back of scripture that we've read. Stephen is making a point here, much like Paul did to the Romans in chapter 1. Let me just turn to that quick-like and we'll look at those. Either we believe what God's word is telling us or we don't. And as we believe what God's word is telling us, we have to ask the question, am I one of these that are grumbling? Therefore, 24 in Romans chapter 1, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. And 26, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And then 28, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. And here we've got Stephen is expressing this to the high priest, this Pharisee. They should have known these truths for which Stephen is offering in his history lesson. So it behooves us to understand and realize. One of the questions and thoughts that I've got is in some of the study notes that I've kind of put together here is, what does it take? How ought we to think about pleasing God? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, we get the question. I like to interpret it kind of simple, but 5:10 says to us, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And I've got a little note written in my Bible, try to discern what pleases Jesus. What are some of the things that might please Jesus? It definitely would have pleased Jesus had these people that were trying to rebuke and tell Stephen and the disciples, the apostles here that were proclaiming the truth of Christ, to have listened and maybe in awe dug deeper for additional questions to try to better understand. But 1 Timothy chapter 2 has got a couple of verses, and they're easy to get to. Verse 3 says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. That's not grumbling. That's not complaining. That's trying to share. I think another one is 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as an approved workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. That's a prerogative that God desires. He's given to us this holy written word. It's infallible and it's inerrant, and it's important for us to understand it and to read it in that manner. And I do believe that God is pleased with our behavior when we function that way. Another one is 1 John 3:22, and I'll go there quick-like. 1 John 3:22 says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is verse 23, and this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. To love one another is of utmost importance of God, and it does please him when we do it, and when we listen to the Holy Spirit. The thought process as we go forward from this, and as we try to cover a couple of the questions here that are in Taking Gathered Worship Home. How does our attempt to please God apart from Christ reflect this same arrogance? Well, oftentimes we don't listen. Pride gets in our way and causes us to think we know better than what we're being taught or what's being pointed out. It's almost any day that we can be caught like that. The idea being is, if we're doing it to the glory of God, nothing else, and that's why suffering is one of those cases. It's a matter of dealing with many brethren, brothers and sisters, neighbors, others that don't know Christ, to share the riches of knowing Christ. We've gone through a day or so ago the memorial service of Fran Gillett and the love that she had for the unbeliever as well as the brethren, and was a mighty gal, a mighty warrior for Christ, and she wouldn't hesitate to challenge one on that score. Next question here is, have you ever experienced someone purportedly doing something for you that actually went against everything you stood for? I could say I've had that happen to me. When you think about sometimes people may judge why you're doing something and it's not received in an act of thankfulness. It's received as maybe you just did it for personal gain or something along that line. And you know, sometimes when that happens, we have to examine ourselves. Maybe that's the reason in the way that I did do it and why I did it. It all has to be done to the glory of God. The shattering truth about what's happened here at the very end, and I'm going to read and leave it there for all of us to look at it, to meditate it. Going back to Acts 7, verses 51 to 53, which I think is Stephen reads, I guess I'm going to say the Riot Act, but it needs to be read by all of us in a similar fashion. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the wonder of your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Help us each as we go into the week, walking each day in our life, that we would walk closer to you, that we would never be in a position to where we become stiff-necked. Help us, Holy Spirit, to hear you. Give us those ears to hear and a heart to receive, and where it becomes necessary to repent and call out in a broken and contrite heart, because that's what you love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good rest of the week.